This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Anytime I get a chance to hear the walkout music for Ryan Helsley, I get so excited. It really pumps me up.
Oh, you know what that means. Before we bring on our Hall of Fame guest, quick programming note.
Hack.
Normally, 9 a.m. on Fridays is when you hear our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not Big Bank Banking. It's better. But because of the very late arrival last night, Mike Schilt's going to go on with Tony this afternoon. And Brandon Lockridge is going to be on with Annie and Elston coming up. But we have the pleasure of welcoming back to Bennett Woods, number 51, the Hall of Fame closer for the San Diego Padres. Trevor Hoffman is with us here on a Friday morning. Trevor, it's always great to talk to you. Welcome back to 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, boys. Great to spend the morning with you here. I'm glad I could fill in for Schilty a bit. I'm wondering if he wore an outfit being a rookie manager for the Padres.
We haven't talked about that. Yeah, they had the Jackson Merrill and the rookies dressed up as Friars, right, last night?
Yeah, they wouldn't have done it to him. But he's not a rookie manager by any means. I mean, he's set records for 90 wins in a row and stuff like that. So we don't have to worry about that with him. But, yeah, I think last night they had some fun with a couple of the rookies.
You know, I always love talking to Schilty, but after last night's game, I was like, we'll let Tony get a crack at him today, and we get a chance to talk to Hoffy today. So this works out great for me.
Hoffy, why did you have Jackson Merrill bunt? Sorry, no, that's
wrong guy.
he got the wrong sign.
He missed the sign. Rookies, as a rookie will be known to do. How's everything in your world, my friend?
Everything's good. Getting excited about October for the boys. I think really just the beauty of baseball. It's a long season. It's a grind. You see the ups and downs. We talked about roller coaster rides at the beginning of the season. The guys seem to catch their stride, and we're talking about one of the best records out of the All-Star break. So it's kind of fun to see these guys punch their ticket the other night and start focusing on the postseason.
So on the show earlier this week, I kind of just was speaking from the heart after they clinched the playoff spot about feeling like there's something magical, and maybe from above this year with Peter Seidler, all the amazing, you know, the comebacks, the walk-offs, just the moments that they have experienced. And as a Padres fan for my whole life, not something I'm really used to, Trevor, but there was one season that was pretty magical. It was your 1998 Padres. And I wanted to get your opinion, kind of comparing the vibe between 1998. I remember like a Steve Finley walk-off grand slam, you know, and like 2 or 3 weeks into the season, and that you felt something special going on that year. And this year you felt something special going on with the Padres. How do you kind of compare those two teams?
Yeah, I think we felt like we had the potential in spring training in 98, and it was just a matter of kind of coming together as a group. We knew we had enough in the tank, enough in the stable, we'll say, with players to have a great year, where I feel like, as you mentioned, having Peter's legacy and what he stands for and stood for really be a shining light for this group and be an impetus to fight for. A guiding, you know, hand and Schilty over, you know, the season and what AJ was able to put together and some of the things that he had to put to do. They're similar. We were kind of panicking in September. We were kind of, oh my gosh, how are we going to right the ship? Almost like the Royals are feeling and the Twins, and, you know, being able to get in was big for us. But honestly, this group has been pretty tight knit for the whole year. I think the fact they're hitting their stride from the second half on was key. You could see kind of them coming together throughout the year, and it's just been a lot of fun to watch them. The fans have been incredibly supportive, showing up day in, day out, setting records for attendance. Just a lot of things have really come together.
It's been a blast to cover this year. Trev, I ran into you at the gym and told you the same thing. It's just been incredible to cover, and it's flown by because they've played such good baseball, and not only good baseball, it's an enjoyable watch. And, you know, we have this discussion all the time, and mostly with you know, people that are real knee-jerk. You can't be real knee-jerk in baseball. You just can't. And you can speak to this a little bit, whether it's, you know, potentially losing your closer's role, or I'm a little banged up, but I feel like I can help the team win. I'm talking, of course, about Manny earlier in the season, Luis Arraez right now with his thumb. guys like that, guys like you, guys like Robert Torres, you're not going to right the ship by taking days off. You're just not, right? Like, that's, you guys, if you feel like you can play and help the team, you're going to be out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's a responsibility you have to post. 50% Manny is better than 100% of somebody else sometimes. And so, you know, you understand that need to be in the lineup, but, you know, it's going to take everybody. We saw the contributions from Solano and Peralta at different types of the year, and now Donovan's a full-time participant at first base. So, like, everyone takes on a different role, a different hat. Your stars need to be stars. You get contributions throughout the year in different phases and different times that have huge impacts on the team. But, you know, I think the one common denominator that I see out of this group is the fight. They just don't really quit.
Yeah.
Even when they're, you know, a few runs down late, there doesn't seem to be this panic or this, you know, just shut, pack up the tent, let's go home. Like, we're going to find a way to, or they're going to find a way to figure out a way to get it done. And they've done it so many times that you start to believe that. And, you know, when you do get enough times and enough teams have seen you do that, they start to wait for that rally to come on.
Trevor, I saw a backlash from some fans on, you know, Robert Suarez's entrance when they turn the lights out and everyone waves their phones around and they said, oh, ever since they started that, he's been struggling, and they tried to make a connection. And I wanted to ask, because he had such the famous interest, if I'm remembering correctly, the first time they played Hell's Bells, you blew the save, and like, it was the end of a long streak, right?
So, yeah, it wasn't the first. I actually was a little surprised that the song played when it did. Was able to secure the save against Houston, but the next night,
that's right, the next one,
was going for an ML record consecutive save streak and against the Astros. And the batter I struck out the night before, Moises Alou, on a nice changeup, I tried to sneak an 85-mile-an-hour fastball by him the next day, and he got deposited out left field. Oh. So, yeah, there was a broach to say that the song was the problem, and we got to get rid of it. I'm like, look, if we're going to go that far, we're in trouble. But as it turned out, you know, Hell's Bells, that Ryan song is famously known for, is great. Yeah, I enjoyed using it before he had a chance to. But it certainly is just about it building over time, we'll say.
I'm just saying, if people had overreacted, we would have never had to. Oh, no.
You've gotten it twice.
The save, we're never playing that again.
Would have gotten
that
it twice.
That was a mistake, and we would have missed out on something that became iconic and legendary. In fact, I remember that Moises Alou. That was a day game. I was at the gym. Yep. I was on a Stairmaster watching it on television. Can you imagine that? And
I
saw it happen. I remember that day, actually.
I can't.
Well, thankfully you didn't fall off the machine. That's a good thing.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the gym, when Wood said he ran into you at the gym, my first reaction was, wait, does Trevor know he's a Hall of Famer?
Right.
He's just going to the normal gym.
The normie gym.
Us normal schlubs. That doesn't seem right, Trevor.
Man of the people.
You got to get your swell on everywhere, Kim. It's important that you find a place to work out. Good for the body.
I was so happy that he was done with his workout, because I would have seen him in the gym, and then he would have watched me with a Hawkeye, like what I was doing. So I was like, come on, easy, Chubbs. Get that 135 up a few times. I wanted to ask you, though. I mean, you know, so much of what you did in your career, yes, it's ability. Yes, it's heart. But a lot of it is confidence. And when your confidence gets rattled as a closer, and I'm not even saying Robert Suarez is. I don't know him. I haven't talked to him. He looks pretty confident. The velo's still there. What do you see as a guy that did this to you know, a Hall of Fame level when you watch Robert pitch these days that maybe is a little bit different from when he was just on such a ridiculous run?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely been a focus, and I credit the way he's handled it. I think you look at him and you can't really see a difference in how he approaches his inning and his job. Like you mentioned, his stuff and all the metrics around it are saying it's pretty similar. There might be a command issue at this point in time, but confidence is a huge thing in this game. And, you know, it's coming at maybe not the best time, but what an opportunity to turn the page.
Yeah.
Is something that's part of the job that you get used to, is turning the page and page in the postseason. It's almost like the pressure's off, like you're playing with house money, in a sense that, you know, you're now not looking at 162 to try and get through. You're looking at how can we get 13 wins, and we're going to play team baseball, whether it's an offense or a pitching standpoint. How do we get outs? How do we get runs across the plate? And so, you know, there is a focus on Robert. His stuff is, and his year has been fantastic. It's nice that the addition of Scott and Adam and Hoeing coming from Florida are there. There might be some matchup things that'll happen. Robert's been in that position before with the Padres, so I think it'll be an interesting dilemma that Schilty's going to have to deal with.
For a closer, how different was the playoffs for you versus the regular season? I always thought, I mean, as a closer, you're always coming in a pressure situation.
Always, yeah.
So you're probably more set for the playoffs. And obviously, Trevor, you had your successes in the playoffs. You had the ones that didn't work out for you. But, like, was there anything different about it for you in the playoffs versus the regular season?
I think the one thing was just familiarity of the hitter on the pitcher. Like, you just don't see guys as frequently in the regular season as that you will see in series in the postseason. And so, you know, you're trying to close things out. You're trying to get wins secured, regardless if it's, you know, the first inning or the fifth inning or the ninth, for that matter. And yet these at-bats that accrue up, these hitters are so good. And even though guys' stuff has gotten better, that they just are able to pick up little nuances, having had an at-bat yesterday or having an at-bat in the series in game one, and now I'm seeing them in game three, 3 days later. It's that familiarity is something that's a little bit different. I think, you know, it's been out there, but it's been interesting to kind of, you know, think about Maddux's 30 for 30 and how he talked about certain at-bats that he had with a Jeff Bagwell in the regular season, and how Eddie Perez was behind the dish and didn't want him to throw a certain pitch. And he ended up going deep and goes, look, we're going to face him in the postseason. He's going to be looking for that heater, and he's never going to get it, and it worked out. And there was a similar interaction with, I think, T. Gwynn, where Tony said, I'd never seen him attack me in a certain way, and it wasn't until the postseason that happened, even though Tony had a 450 average against Greg in the regular season. So it's kind of those mind games. It's how the chess game is played at certain times, and you got to be ready on the fly.
Have you worked with Robert on his changeup? Because when he throws it, it's can be pretty nasty. And if I would imagine if I've got you at my disposal, I'd try to wear you out about it at fantasy camp. You know what I'm saying? Like he used it, got an out, you know, got the final out with it last week or earlier in the week. And it can be pretty nasty. I had the theory that, like, what if he just rope a dopes everybody in the playoffs and he just goes 50% changeup, 50% fastball, becomes a completely different pitcher. Have you guys talked about his changeup?
We talked in spring training just about the philosophy of the pitch, and it's a plus pitch for him. There's no doubt. It's not something that maybe he's utilized throughout the year as much as maybe it will become a weapon here in the postseason, just because why mess with something that's working?
Yeah.
And so now that he's had a little bit of a hiccup, there might be a little bit of a change, but his bread and butter is 100-mile-an-hour heater.
Yeah.
It's still hard to square up 100 miles an hour, and so I think he's going to be just fine. He's going to be a tremendous right-hand weapon for our bullpen late in the game, and it's going to be great to see him have success.
All right, Trevor, I was looking in our YouTube chat, and we have a Tier 1 who is a Padres fan from Austria, and his name is also Trevor, and he wrote in the chat, he said, let's go, Trevor. He said, the reason my parents named me Trevor.
Look at
you.
That.
Have you realized that you've inspired first names, apparently, among Padres fans?
That's really cool. I mean, I know that my name, my mother was a big fan of Trevor Howard, the actor. And so I was named after somebody else as well. And, you know, it's a unique in a sense that it's a name that, you know, there's not five kids raising their hand at the beginning of the school year saying, my name's Trevor. And how do I, you know, move from there? But, you know, getting a chance to hear stories of kids being named after you is something special. They're not kids anymore. They're kind of young adults, so they start to feel your age a little bit, which kind of stinks. But I knew that, you know, when I was in trouble and they said my name, there wasn't another guy I could look at most of the time and say, hey, we share the same name. It's been a neat run.
Well, a very common name these days, Trevor, is Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Jackson.
Holiday, Churio, Merrill, Job just got brought up. Well, is every rookie in baseball a Jackson now?
I've got two on my little league team. I got to call one of. By the way, one of his names is Jackson Brown. So I'm like, hey, doctor, my eyes, get in the box, buddy. I got two Jacksons, both J-A-X-O-Ns, of course. But speaking of Jackson Merrill, Paul Skeens, they're head-to-head, obviously. Now, you were a pitcher, and we talk to Brett Boone all the time. He always sides with the hitters. But, you know, you've got some hometown loyalty here to the kid. Jackson Merrill or Paul Skeens, who is your vote?
Jackson, hands down.
Shocker.
What he's been able to do on a daily basis, a premier position. I mean, his numbers are sick. Like, just the power, the on base, the speed. I can't say enough about a young man never playing the position until this year. With the consistency that he's brought to his game. We got a chance to see it in the minor leagues. I mean, he was a big factor in Lake Elsinore's run a couple years back and went in that. Had a little bit of a bump in Fort Wayne, but to see his progression from there, like every time he was in spring training games, he never seemed overmatched. And, you know, to make that jump to the big leagues as seamless as he has, it's a credit to his work in the offseason and the coaches around him and, you know, just becoming a big leaguer. And pretty fun to watch him have that success.
Well, and the argument that a lot of people, including us, have been making, Jackson Merrill's played in 156 games. Paul Skeens has only appeared in 22. He's been really good in those 22 games. You are someone who lost a major award based on that argument, essentially. Tom Glavine had a really good 1998, nowhere near what you did, but voters said, yeah, but Trevor only pitched one inning at a time. Tom Glavine was a starter. He had more innings. That was more worthy of a Cy Young. You lost the award on this same argument that hopefully Jackson Merrill wins it on because he's posting every day.
Yeah, I think the breakdown in 98, too, was that Kevin Brown had a Cy Young caliber year as well. And so we ultimately could have split some votes and allowed some to go to Tom. But I think my bugaboo was being left off a certain number of ballots for whatever reason. Someone didn't feel, you know, I didn't do enough by being in a short role. So, you know, in this case, it is hard to compare a pitcher to hitter. You know, they're uniquely different. And they're uniquely valuable, as we will see how heavily we will rely on our starting pitching in the postseason. It is. It's an important role, as is your 5-0 hitter and your center fielder. And so it's going to be hard for the voters to decide. Most of the people that are going to be up for this award as finalists will have had great years and put up great numbers. So I hope it goes to Jackson.
Trevor, as always, such a pleasure catching up with you. Looking forward to October. Hopefully we'll see you out at the ballpark, in the gas lamp, wherever, coming up in the next couple of weeks. But thank you so much for your time today.
Love it, guys. Thanks. Good luck, Pods, man.
Appreciate
Let's
go, Pods.
There he is.
Thanks,
the Hall of Famer, Trevor Hoffman, number 51.
Favorite guy, man. He's just the best. The coolest.
He's very, very cool.
They say don't meet your heroes. If Trevor Hoffman was your hero, meet him.
Meet him.
It's worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
And he will absolutely bring it in and welcome you like you guys are best friends.
He'll be more of your hero.
You'd literally never know that guy was in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's ever big leagued anyone. Seriously.
You're running him to him at the gym and he's just working out with everybody else on the machine, taking his turn on the machine.
Yeah.
All right. Love that guy. And if you missed it, Mike Schilt's going to join Tony and Scraby this afternoon. Give them a little extra rest after getting in very, very late, or very, very early, as it were, this morning in Arizona. And
what's up, my dudes? How you doing?
There he is. Not going to alibi. Well, he's going to alibi because he didn't get much sleep. So he's going to go ahead and skip. And it's later. It's fine. Give those guys a crack at Mike Schilt today.
Have fun.
All right, we got my Super Saturday lineup coming up in college football. Give you something to watch before the Padres and the Diamondbacks tomorrow. Get to that coming up next year after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Final weekend of the baseball season.
Yes, sir.
Regular season.
Regular season.
We know the Padres will be playing next week. We just don't know against who, or possibly where, or what time. But we know everything else, that they will be playing next week. We'll talk more baseball in a couple of minutes. Thanks again to Trevor Hoffman for joining us. The Hall of Famer was fantastic, as always. But since it is Friday, and you do have some time to kill before the Padres play tomorrow night in Game 2 against the Diamondbacks, I have Ben's Super Saturday college football lineup for you. Woodsy, I know you love this segment.
Ben's
Super Saturday.
Super Saturday.
College
BSSC.
Football.
Super Sexy Saturday.
Super Sexy Saturday college football lineup.
Happy to add a little sexiness to it for you. Let's see. First off, if you want to get up early, starting the day, 9 a.m. on ESPN, we've got number 20 Oklahoma State at number 23 Kansas State. Now, this is a big game because both teams are 3-1, but they both lost their Big 12 opener. So it's practically kind of a playoff elimination game.
Yeah.
Should be fairly evenly matched as well. So I'd expect pretty good game and a good entertaining way to start off your day. I'm actually intrigued though. It's not a nationally focused game at 12:30, but on FS1, it's Fresno State at UNLV. So Fresno State's gotten off to a 3-1 start. Their loss was to Michigan, but they still have some dreams of being like, hey, win the Mountain West, be the playoff participant from the non-Power 4 schools. But UNLV, they're off to that 3-0 start. They lost their quarterback, though, in that NIL dispute we talked about earlier this week. Now, I don't know if you saw the story yesterday, but the CEO of Circa Las Vegas, who is on TV all the time with his Circa Eliminator, Derek something or other, said, I'll pay the kid $100,000.
Amazing.
I want to see him.
I was waiting for that.
I want to see him keep quarterbacking UNLV. Is that all it takes? $100,000? Yeah, I got that in the couch here.
Somebody in Vegas has to have $100,000.
Yes, 100%.
He said, I don't know now. Is it just that simple? He's like, okay, I'm back in the lineup. Thanks a lot. And what kind of precedent does that then set for college athletics? Like, will you have players start to hold out and they're not getting paid? Oh, yeah, we've got the first game of the playoff this week. Boosters, would you like me to play? Here's my Venmo. Just start sending it to me. I mean, it's a dangerous precedent to set. This is all a subplot of the game. And don't forget, this is also the first matchup. UNLV just yesterday signed on the dotted line. They're staying in the Mountain West for big money. Fresno State, of course, one of the teams that's leaving the Mountain West for the Pac-12 with San Diego State. And now they're facing off against each other. Pretty interesting Mountain West matchup at 12:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, obviously the money thing with the casino owner. That's not, it doesn't work that way. I can't just show up at his house and drop off a bag of money. He's like, all right, I can go back to practice now. I don't think it works that way.
Kind of might, though. That's the problem. There are no rules.
Yeah, there's you have to, there needs to be some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Exchange of goods and services,
it's like,
of some
like,
sort.
Oh, that you're going to come do marketing.
They
for
can set
Circa.
That up
right.
So easily.
They could.
Though.
They could come out and do an appearance at Circa
now,
for $100,000
because it's gambling. Can the NCAA allow that?
Right.
I don't know, but I'm sure he's got another business here. Oh yeah, I also have
a laundromat
investment in this laundromat. Come show up for an hour at the laundromat and give your $100,000.
I told you when I was a little kid, I read the Brian Bosworth biography in like sixth grade. It was called The Boz. Amazing. When he went to OU, now this is before you could do this. This was completely shady. He said he used to make like $1,400 to watch the oil rig, the oil derrick go up and down. He would sit in his white Corvette that was given to him, and he would sit back and he would in his car and he would watch it go up and down for 4 hours. And he would make $1,400 a day doing that.
If it stopped going up and down, did he need to notify someone?
I would assume
perhaps?
So, but I mean, here's a tip. They never stop unless you want them to stop. So it was insane. It's always been insane. Now it's just insane and it's out in public. They're doing the thing that they've always done, but now it's just public knowledge.
All right, the 4:30, this one was the obvious choice on ABC. Number 2, Georgia at number 4, Alabama.
Wowzers.
Not much needs to be said. One of the better early season games you're going to encounter in a college football season. I think Paulie mentioned it earlier this week. What was the stat? Crimson Tide, a home underdog for the first time in
07, I think?
Yeah.
17 years?
Yeah.
But not by much. And obviously, you know, that's going to be pivotal in deciding who has the early season control of the SEC. And then, you know, if you really want to diehard it, 7 o'clock FS1, you've got future Pac-12 rivals colliding. Washington State at number 25, Boise State. And this is the undefeated Cougs' chance to maybe take the Broncos' spot in the top 25 if they can win on the road. So there's your lineup for your super sexy Saturday college football choices, courtesy of yours truly.
I see one really sexy game. Very sexy.
San Diego State at Central Michigan. 12:30 CBS Sports Net.
Fire up Chips.
The Chippewas.
Man, I have a soccer game I got to coach. It's that high-powered offense, slinging it all over
USD
the field.
USD at Drake in the Pioneer League opener. Is that the one you're...
No, you skipped over the Irish, playing number 15 Louisville.
You know, I gave them some consideration.
Two ranked teams.
I went with Fresno State UNLV, but they are two
ranked
teams.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, but that's a Peacock game in the middle of the day.
Sure is.
I'm surprised that Notre Dame's already back up to, what, 17? Remember they lost to Northern Illinois?
Yes, I do remember that. Thanks for reminding me.
Usually they punish teams a little bit more for losses like that. Harder to get back into the top 25.
Irish by 7? I'll take Louisville. Good and the points. Just can't get it going. That's a quarterback that was, you know, they spent like $2 million on their quarterback.
Just quickly. So with the Mountain West teams all signing to stay, all 7 of them, and there's only 7 new Pac-12 teams. Both conferences are now in this race to like find at least one more school. According to reports, the Pac-12 is targeting Texas State to be their 8th team, whereas the Mountain West is going after Toledo or Northern Illinois to be their 8th team. None of it really makes much sense, but they're both left one team short of a real conference. And they're looking for someone else that can join them. Like, Sacramento State is going, hey, we join the Pac-12. They're not even a FBS football team. They say, yeah, but we'll build a stadium. We'll join FBS. Just put us in the Pac-12. Sacramento State wants to be in the Pac-12. Yikes.
A little different.
Yikes. All right, we'll come back. We'll look ahead to the Arizona Diamondbacks series, which still is important for the San Diego Padres. We'll review and revisit the ways in which the Padres do need to take care of some business this weekend.
Ain't over yet.
The Arizona Diamondbacks. It is not over yet for sure. We'll get to that coming up next.
Things Ben likes. We have to do. We haven't done it in forever.
On 97.3 The Fan. All of that next.
Before we get to the preview of this weekend series, Benny, wanted to give a shout-out to our friends over at the Lake Elsinore Storm. They are hosting a golf tournament. They want some golfers out there. If you go to Thunder Cares Golf, you can. We'll post the link on our Thunder Cares Golf. And it's pretty cool. You can go out. If you sign up to play golf, one person's going to be able to be picked randomly to get to go in and do color for a storm game. So you sign up to play golf, that you could win that, which is pretty rad. They're obviously doing this for charity, working with kids in Riverside County. And, great people over there at the Storm. And we said, we'd absolutely give it a mention for you. It's their golf tournament. It's going to be on October 14th. And they're starting check-in 7 a.m. Shotgun start at 8 a.m. Get in, get out, $200 a player. It's a really good deal. And go to Thunder Cares Golf.
That would be in the radio booth for next season, as this season's over. The Storm came within one win of a California League title. Lost the last game.
You would not like to do color. You would like to do play-by-play.
I would rather be the play-by-play guy. I feel like I'm more suited for that.
Right. How so?
Well, usually the color commentator tends to be kind of an ex-player and analyst.
Yeah.
Has more of kind of the inside knowledge of the game. Not that I don't have some, but I'm more of the describer of the action.
The play-by-play.
The play-by-play. You do play-by-play.
Yeah.
Every play, one after
the other.
Yeah,
you're the play-by-play on this show, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
All right. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan, a little play-by-play here, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. What are the Padres playing for this weekend? We will spell it all out right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I think the Padres are actually playing for two things this weekend in Arizona. The first and most obvious is home field advantage in the wild card series. They will be playing a wild card series next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday if necessary. They can ensure that that series will be at Petco Park with two wins over the Diamondbacks or one win over the Diamondbacks plus one New York Mets loss in their final five games. That would assure the home games. That's tangibly what the Padres are playing for. And the sooner you can wrap it up, which is possible even tonight with a win and a Mets loss to the Brewers, you'll have more time to get some guys some rest, give some backups, some at-bats in the lineup, Get your bullpen, back of the bullpen guys in there. Maybe call up a Matt Waldron to make another start. You know, have everyone ready and rested and waiting for Tuesday and whatever team is going to arrive. Start scouting the possible opponents. Obviously, if it takes a little bit longer, you're probably going to have to use more of your starting pitching. They've already decided to use Yu Darvish tonight. Now, he's pitching on the normal 4 days rest, but they're going to try to go aggressively, win this first game with Darvish as he makes the start in the opener against Merrill Kelly at 6:40 tonight.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly he was injured, I think. He's back now, Benny. He's 5-0 with a 3.71. He's gotten a bit lucky.
I think he came out with a cramp after five innings in his last start, but I don't think it's something they expect to linger.
Why is he... He's only pitched
in
12 games.
Yeah, he was injured for the first half of the season.
All right. So 12 games, 12 starts. He's throwing 3.71 ERA right now. Whip's 1.13. I mean, you know, pretty good, but gotten pretty lucky, it looks like. But he throws the whole kitchen sink at you. He's got about five pitches that he uses. He's cutter guy mostly. So cutter and changeup is kind of his bread and butter. Keep you off balance. And, you know, guys like that, the thing about this team, man, Walker Buehler actually pitched pretty well last night. I do feel like we missed some opportunities on him early. But once he got locked in, I mean, they said his ERA was like 7 in the first inning. And, of course, we didn't get to him in the first.
He struck out one batter.
He's
not Walker Buehler anymore.
Right.
Padres hit some atom balls. Padres missed some fatter pitches. That kind of brings me to the second thing the Padres are playing for this weekend.
Get it on track.
That is getting on track. Not that they're totally off track. I refuse to say a team that has won 9 of their last 12 games is off track, but clearly the offense has not been as productive as it was a few weeks ago. They haven't scored more than 4 runs in a game more than once in the last, you know, 10 games.
Runners in scoring position has been devastatingly bad.
You know, one thing I would love to see over these next 3 days in a pretty good hitter's ballpark in Arizona against a pitching staff that has been pretty bad most of the season. I know Kelly's good, but overall the Diamondbacks have won with offense, not with defense. Get some of the little confidence at the plate. Get some guys going. You know, in particular, I keep saying, sit Arise, rest him. I want to see Arise go out there and get going this weekend. If he says, I'm healthy enough to go out there, I want to see him go out there, get some hits, feel good going into Tuesday's playoff opener. You know, the more good feelings you can get at the plate, that's what I'm playing for this weekend if I'm the San Diego Padres
100%,
as well.
No doubt.
The Padres have gone just TBA for their next two starts. So totally depends on what happens tonight with their game and the Mets game with what they'll probably do from a pitching standpoint the final 2 days. The Diamondbacks have Eduardo Rodriguez scheduled for tomorrow. He has been a very disappointing big money signing after they signed him as a free agent from the Tigers in the offseason. And Brandon Pfaadt, who was banged around pretty badly in his last start by the Giants, I think that was that 11-1 game that they lost. He is going to start on Sunday, assuming those games are important for the Diamondbacks as well.
These cats playing for their lives, though, right?
They are.
Yeah.
They are one game ahead of the Braves. They are tied with the Mets, and only two of those three teams will join the Padres in the playoffs. So
these are
playoff games, essentially, for the Diamondbacks. They probably think we need to at least win this series to get in.
Yep.
And that is probably what their target is. Padres, of course, need to win at least one, or the Diamondbacks will catch them and will have the tiebreaker, and the Padres won't be able to host in the first round. So you have to win at least one. One Mets loss in 5 games would get it done, or just win 2, and then no one can catch you at all.
Yep.
In these last 3.
Again, future is in your hands. You control your own destiny. Don't need any help at all, really. If you just go out and win your ball games, you're fine.
Correct.
Which is a good thing. It's a good position to be in. A little help would be nice. Haven't really gotten a ton these last few weeks, but go out and handle business. You don't have to worry about it.
The rest of the matchups today in baseball that you might be interested in. Obviously, I mentioned the Mets are in Milwaukee. That is Sean Manaea on the mound against Frankie Montas. That's a 5-10 start. The Atlanta Braves are at home against the Kansas City Royals. The Royals' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 1. Brady Singer on the mound against Max Fried in that game. And there's also one other subplot here, and that is the race for the number 1 seed in the National League, and if you even want to be the number one seed in the National League. The Dodgers currently lead the Phillies by a game, but the Phillies have the tiebreaker. So if they finished even at the end, Philly would be the one seed. The one seed will play the winner of the 4-5 series, which is what we're hoping the Padres are in. So if you're the one seed, you're waiting on either the Padres or their opponent. If you're the two seed, you're waiting on either the Brewers or the sixth seed in the second round. So some think maybe the two seed is a better spot to be over these last three games, and not the one seed, even though you'd be giving up home field advantage potentially in the National League Championship Series. The Dodgers finish with three, of course, in Coors Field against the Rockies. The Philadelphia Phillies finish with three in Washington against the Nationals. So both playing last place teams.
Yeah. Who wants it?
I mean, if the Dodgers drop one, the Phillies can take the one seed. Do they want to take the one seed?
Yeah, of course. I think you do.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
I don't think you play those games. I don't think you. I don't think you ever even.
You don't play those games.
It's a dangerous game.
You don't. But you don't go all out to try to win the one seed.
You go all out to win a baseball game every time.
Like you don't. You start. You like
if there's
you,
something to play.
If there's something to play for, you go. You try to win a game.
Okay, but I think your definition of this has got to be. Yeah, if you've got Aaron Nola pitching, and you can because you're going to have a bye.
Right.
You're not necessarily going, hey, we need 125 pitches out of you to make sure we win this game.
You wouldn't do that anyway.
Well, if you're going all out, if it's a playoff game, you might.
We're right, which it's not a playoff
game. So you're not playing it like it's a playoff game to win the one seed.
No, but I'm also not playing it like, I hope we kind of lose this game. Never play that game of like.
But you're more ups. And,
yeah.
You know.
Garrett Stubbs should see some action. Right.
In that sense, I don't think either team is going to go all out for the one seed, knowing might actually be a harder road to get to the World Series one versus the two.
And honestly, I mean, if you're the Phillies or the Dodgers and you're playing that game, that's actually kind of pathetic because you're the two best teams. So the way I would roll is like, I think we're the best team. I don't care who we play. That's just how, like, that's the mentality you have to have. Not like, oh, God, I hope we get the Brewers. Like, I just don't think you can play that because.
And maybe the Brewers are the team that ends up the hottest of anyone.
And
you
winning
don't know.
It all. And think about last year. You know, the 84-win wild card Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. Then think about the year before. The little brother Padres go in and beat the Dodgers. So, I mean, I just don't think you mess around at all. I think you just go, you play your hardest, play your best. You can obviously rest guys and get guys off their feet, which is normal behavior. But I just don't think you play the game of like, I kind of hope we fall to the two. I mean, you start hoping you fall somewhere. It's probably a mentality you don't want.
All right. It's been a while, as you said. I think we missed it the last couple of weeks. So let's finish up with about 90 seconds of things Ben likes. I like the tanginess of the cranberry. I like reflecting. I like all-time rock and roll, too. You know I do. I like NIL. I like my standard, very uninteresting haircut. I do like hearing people talk about how well it's going for the Padres. I like numbers. Oh, I like the bits. I like to be educational. I like when I get up, have a glass of cranberry juice cocktail. I like Adam Major. I do like butterscotch.
God.
I like your tweets a lot. I still like this deal. I like to live my life after another famous Benjamin. Benjamin Button. I like when the Padres take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. I would have liked to have tried something else. I like Darren. I've always liked Darren. I like watching LeBron and Anthony Davis. Sex by the fire at night. That's what I like. Yeah. I like Jake Cronenworth. The last couple of days, I really liked his swings. I do like horses. I like the Padres lineup. I like when things just flow perfectly. But I like Indian food. I just like a good, honest answer. I've liked what I've seen from Donovan Solano so far. I like that idea. I like 18 games in 18 days. You know, I like where the Padres are. I like that we won as a team.
I do, too.
All of us together. I like to picture people actually in a recording studio. I like the way the Padres play baseball. What I like is the variety of the wins.
Yeah.
I liked everything about this week. I did like everything about this week. We had a good week here on
Ben
Woods.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
We had a lot of fun.
Hoping for a great week next week.
Obviously, we had a clinching celebration. Yeah. It didn't finish exactly the way we wanted to as Padres fans.
In the playoffs, so.
This show, we had Trevor Hoffman on today.
It's great.
I like
always
that.
Great. Yeah, I like that too.
If you missed it, you can always catch it on our various podcasts and go back on the YouTube stream or the Odyssey app. And don't forget, Annie and Elston coming up. They're going to have Brandon Lockridge on the program today. Get to know someone who might play a pivotal role coming off the bench as a pinch runner for the Padres in the postseason, defensive replacement. And then Mike Shildt, the manager's report. A little delayed today, but with Tony and Matt Scraby this afternoon on that program as Tony joins you from Arizona before game one of the three-game series against the Diamondbacks.
Hoping for a good week next week. Before we get to next week, though, now, if I tell you this, do you promise not to curse? You almost had a slip-up earlier.
I did. I checked swing on an F-bomb.
You got a little more production to do.
Today?
Yeah.
After the one I already have.
Yeah. If you're new to the program, Woodsy loves nothing more than Friday production.
Who sent it over? What sales rep? Should I guess or do I know the answer?
Throw me the roach before the show ends.
Yeah, where is that?
It's right here. You guys forgot to kiss it yesterday.
I don't think we did.
Hurry. Time's running out. 15 seconds. 15, 14. Got it. We're all in.
I came back and kissed him.
Is it the sales, rep? I think it is.
If they win,
no.
Okay.
The roach is all powerful. We'll talk to you Monday morning, 6 a.m., right here on 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.